Well, please take your Bibles tonight and turn to page 512 if you're using the Pew Bibles. If not, turn to Psalm 119 in your Bibles. If there is anyone who stood in awe of God, it was the author of this psalm. As I've mentioned, and I'll mention probably over and over again, Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible that speaks of the Word of God over and over, is not a Bible study. Not at all. It's a reflection of a man who loved his God. He loved the Word of God because he loved the God of the Word. And whenever you study or read this psalm, keep that in your mind. The psalmist loved the Word of God because he loved the God of the Word. Now let's look at a few of the opening verses here. We read in verse 1, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart, or seek him with their whole heart. And last time we talked about the fact that so much of what governs our lives, our decisions, our actions, the things that make us smile, really have to do with that which makes us happy. For example, a certain couple that we mentioned today are quite happy. And that which makes us happy is one of the primary things that governs all that we do in our lives. And we found in looking with at the opening stanza in Psalm 1, our conclusion is that a blessed walk with God is only sustained through devotion to his word. A blessed or happy or joyful walk with God, one that gives us pleasure on earth, is sustained through devotion to his word.
Could I get some water from someone?
And that is the key to true happiness, in spite of all the commercials and everything we hear and see and are exposed to in so many contexts. However, we've got a problem, and it's a big problem. The problem is there are some external dangers all around us, and there are some internal defects that we have that make devotion, that devotion we want to our God, so difficult to retain. The external dangers that I'm talking about are all the temptations that surround us. The temptations online, the temptations on our TVs, the temptations in what we read. We're constantly tempted to sin. Thank you very much. And internally, those defects that we have, those illnesses that we experience, are illnesses of the heart, taking the form of all kinds of sins. So as God's children, those who want to live a devoted life, a happy life, a joyful life, we have a very difficult context in which to do so. And sin and temptation call to us, don't they? All around us, they call to us. And sometimes we can think just a little won't hurt. just a little indulgence. And yet all of us know the sorrow and the shame that we experience when we sin against our Lord. Sorry about that. Each of us has particular sins that we struggle with. There are all kinds of them. It may be selfishness, it may be pride, it may be lust, coveting, you name it. We all know what they are. And they constantly tug at us. So in a world filled with sin inside and temptation all around us, how can we increasingly maintain a pure life that brings happiness before our God? How can we fix our eyes on Christ Jesus increasingly and purify our hearts as his heart is pure? Well, God's answer is wonderful, and it's very unique, and it's a bit different than folks might think. And the main point of what we'll look at tonight is that the delightful treasures of God's word must replace the deceitful pleasures of sin. The delightful treasures, all that we have in God's word, must replace the deceitful pleasures, the disgusting and very tricky pleasures of sin. If you want to keep it short, divine treasure must replace sinful pleasure. And we find this in the second stanza of the psalm, beginning with verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now in verses 9 through 16, the psalmist describes a God-centered approach. You'll see this, to purity. That's what makes it unique. It is God-centered. And this approach isn't legalistic. You can find all kinds of books on that, on how to maintain purity, including sexual purity, and the struggles that young men have. They're all out there, all kinds of legalistic sets of rules. This approach leads to obedience, but it's not through some gloomy, self-absorbed approach that focuses on self and not on God, focuses on rule-keeping. No, the approach described here is God-centered, not man-centered. It looks upward for help and not inward for strength. This approach is based on devotion more than some obligation. It stems from love that leads to worship and resolve. It's founded on grace and not will. So verses 9 through 16, this second stanza that we'll look at, they reveal at least four things that must characterize our lives if we're going to live holy lives before our God as we're commanded to. We're told in Leviticus 19:2, and Peter echoes it, that we are to be holy as God is holy. The Bible is filled with it, just all over the place. We're to live upright and pure lives. And the four approaches that I see the psalmist identifying here are, first, we need to protect our hearts with the word of God. That's verses 9 and verse 11. This isn't always, in going through Psalm 119, going to be a consecutive movement through the stanzas, because they aren't designed that way. So first, we need to protect our hearts with the word of God. Secondly, we need to earnestly pray for the grace of God. Third, we need to rejoice in the person of God. And fourth, we need to diligently walk in the ways of God. Those are the four building blocks of maintaining a life and of purity. And we'll see the verses that go with those as we go through the psalm. And again, the main point, the delightful treasures of God's word must replace the deceitful pleasures of sin. So first, the psalmist discusses protecting his heart with scripture. And he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can he possibly do this in a world filled with sin? His world was filled with sin as much as ours, even though we've got so much public access. The psalmist had the same heart. So how can we do it? And he answers, by keeping it according to your word. And we know that Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled God's word, and through his once for all sacrifice and his perfect obedience, we are counted righteous before God, and we have eternal security, even as we're hearing in Hebrews over and over in a wonderful way. But while we are on earth, God still expects us to pursue purity. And we'll see the foundation as the word of God for doing that. So the first way we pursue purity is by protecting our heart with the word of God. And the psalmist employed a wonderful way in doing this, because we know that sin and impurity begin where? They begin in our hearts. That's why Solomon would write to his son in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, from it flow the springs of life. Whether there are good springs or bad springs, dirty springs or clean springs, all of that which governs your life, Solomon says, comes from your heart. And we know that our Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 7 said the same thing, from within, from out of the heart. And then he goes on to identify various sins that we struggle with. So the psalmist exemplifies how we can do this, and the way he did it is found in verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He stored up his heart, the ESV translates it. King James translated, he hid the word of God in his heart. NAS translates this, he treasured God's word in his heart that he might not sin against him. And he didn't store the word of God in a way that we might picture thrown in a basement or in some other storage room or in a dirty place where we put the things that we could care less about, or he didn't lock it up in a safe, but he stored the word of God in his heart for constant use, and he treasured it, and it was available whenever he wanted it. It was hidden in his heart in that it was protected from external sin. And one way we can watch over our heart with all diligence when temptations come is through storing the Word of God in our heart. Why? Because if it's there, there isn't enough, as much room for sin. It can't get in our hearts as much. The Word of God excludes it and says, leave. I'm here ruling this heart. So we store up God's Word. How do we do it? I believe we do it in three ways. We store up God's Word, first of all, through taking it in, hearing it, and then hiding it in our heart, and then using it. So you could say we internalize it, is one way, through thinking about it, meditating on it. We keep listening to it, and we use it. It's there whenever we want it. So I believe the first way that the psalmist guarded his heart was he protected it through the Word of God. The amount of scripture that psalmist probably knew that he could use at his disposal would amaze us. And it's time for us at times to commit the Word of God to memory, not so that we win a prize, but so that we can protect ourselves from the influence of sin, and the Word of God is there for us to use in doing that. And not only that, it's there for us to use in worshiping our God when we want to. So treasure this book. Hide it in your heart. Love its author more and more and more. And though that sin that so easily entangles you is right there, you can throw it away using the Word of God. And the second way that the psalmist was able to overcome temptation and deal with purity was he earnestly prayed for the grace of God. We read in verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. The psalmist by no means, folks, thought that he could do this in his own strength. He wasn't that foolish. He knew of his weaknesses, and he knew his tendencies to wander, which he did even in the closing verse. He had gone away like a lost sheep. And so he prayed. He prayed for the grace of God to strengthen him, and he prayed for the grace of God to sustain him, just as Paul taught in the book of Titus, that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. The grace of God instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So basically, the psalmist was praying that which Paul instructs later in the New Testament. And he kept praying for the grace of God in a different way in verse 12, where he begins with worship. He says, blessed are you, O Lord. Blessed are you. Teach me your statutes. And from a worshipful heart, he prayed that God would continue to instruct him that he might understand and obey his word. And we not only need to know this, the doctrines of Scripture, as important as that they are, we need to grow in our understanding of God's holy will as revealed in the Bible. In some ways they're inseparable, but in other ways we must know each. This little prayer, "Teach me your statutes," Spurgeon said, was a sweet prayer for daily use. So if we're going to pursue purity and enjoy a blessed walk with God, that walk we talked about last time, we must seek the grace of God more and more and more. And there's a commentator, James Boyce, he wrote a wonderful 3-volume commentary on the Psalms, not just this one. And in that, he wrote, "God alone can cleanse our hearts, and he does it through the agency of his word, the Bible." So pray for grace. And remember, the delightful treasures of God's word must replace the deceitful pleasures of sin. Now, I'll make these last points very brief, but the psalmist also sought to put away impurity and live a holy life according to God's word by rejoicing in the person of God. This is a man who loved his God. And you'll see this in verses 13 and 14. This was a preeminent man. And you see this more and more as you go through the psalm. People knew who he was. And most of them did not like him, because he was proclaiming the word of God to people who did not want to hear this. But we see, nevertheless, a man who is happy in his God because he's proclaiming what the ESV translates all the rules of God's mouth. Now, I don't believe that the ESV is the best translation there. Most translations use ordinances or judgments, and I think those are better and wiser, because rules in our culture can suggest a list of do's and don'ts that we put on our fridge. And that is not all at all what the psalmist is thinking. The idea of judgments, as defined here, could be explained as the decisions of the all-wise judge about common human situations. The decisions of the all-wise judge. The reason I don't think rules is wise and judgments is wiser is because the psalmist wasn't talking about something you and I have invented. These are the words of the Almighty God. And the psalmist loved these words. If you look later in the psalm, you will see that. And as the church of God proclaims these words to one another, what happens? We begin to worship. As we begin to admonish one another and teach one another, we grow in wisdom and we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why? Because we're considering the character of the God who we love. These aren't rules, folks. These are judgments of the all-wise, almighty, glorious God. Cling to them and enjoy them. And the psalmist rejoiced in God's testimonies in verse 14. He delighted in them as much as all riches. God has spoken a lot about himself, his character, his ways, his will, his person, his gospel, his new covenant that we heard of today, including in the book of Jeremiah, as fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist delighted in what he had thus far as much as in all riches. Do we have that delight in the word of God? Is it as precious to us? It was to the psalmist. It was sweet to him. And lastly, I'll just mention these. The psalmist then moves from the past to the present, in which he diligently walked in the ways of God. He had discussed the things he had done. Now he discusses in verses 15 and 16 the things he's going to do. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your gaze. On your ways, I should say. He was going to think about them, use his mind, not just gloss over them. He was going to fix his eyes on them. And what are we told in the book of Hebrews that we'll come to? Lay aside all sin and encumbrance and fix your eyes on Jesus. The psalmist was a man who was thoughtful, and he regarded God's ways. He thought of them highly, and he resolved not to let things get in the way. And not only that, in verse 16, he delighted in God's statutes. His emotions were involved. He loved God's word. He loved this book because he loved its author. Do we love its author? Do we love this book? Is it cherished? Let's pray for one another that we all would love it more. Because may we all love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength more. And lastly, he says, I will not forget your word. That isn't referencing scripture memory there. He's saying, I won't fall away, God, from your word. I have determined in my heart, more than Jonathan Edwards, I will not fall away from your word. Just as John exhorts us in 1 John 5:21, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Be careful. And that's what the psalmist resolved to do. Now, that was super brief, and I skipped half of it. But nevertheless, you see the point. You see the beauty of how we can keep our way pure. It is God-centered. It is grace-empowered. It is not self-willed and boring and disgusting and moody and gloomy. No, we keep our way pure by protecting our hearts with this glorious word of God. We keep our way pure by pleading and crying out for the grace of God. We keep our heart pure by enjoying and taking delight in the Lord our God, the God of the Word. And finally, we keep our hearts pure by resolving to keep the ways of God. We'll close with Charles Spurgeon's words, of course. Let each man, whether you're young or old, who desires to be holy, have a holy watchfulness in his heart and keep his holy Bible before his open eyes. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this, your holy word, for all the treasures in it. We pray, Father, that we would be a people who would increasingly keep our way pure according to your word. Blessed are you, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.